Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much just being here to worship you. We always want to know your heart. And for the last few weeks, we celebrate your birthday, Christmas. And now the Christmas is already over. So we begin to look toward the future and what we're supposed to do for year 2020. We love you and we give this worship to you for guidance and blessing. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. What can we do? Christmas is already over. After Christmas, so we find out last week the gifts have been unwrapped. And if you drive around, not quite sure in your neighborhood, but you drive around my neighborhood, you see a lot of trash just about all over the place. You see the Christmas tree in the trash can, and a lot of stuff suddenly you can recognize in our neighborhood. On your friends and family on their way home from the holidays, the trees is ready to be taken down along with all the decorations. So if you have the opportunity to take the picture of the Christmas decoration, you have until like about 1:30 today. After 1:30, we take everything down. So last opportunity for Christmas picture taken today after church. So you would find out another Christmas come, and then now we have to wait for another 12 months for the next Christmas. So a lot of people, after Christmas, they kind of have the Christmas or holiday blues. So the question I would ask, what can the Christian do now? The Christmas is over. Do we simply settle back to our old routine? Or do we become blue? Do we pack away on the Christmas spirit? Or do we put it up until next year? And it happened a lot, especially for the last few days of the years. One family was driving by the church a few days after Christmas, and the little boys noticed that the nativity scenes had been taken down. So he said innocently enough, "I see. They put Jesus away for another year." Unfortunately, all too often, that is what happened. Jesus got put away with all the wrapping, nativity scenes, lights, ornaments, and a lot of stuff going on. Well, but if you go back to the Bible, there are some people who can show us what to do now that the Christmas is over. So if you have the Bible, you can open up with me in the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. This is the account of the wise man and the magi. You heard the story a lot about this story already. But I want you to look at from the perspective of after Christmas. The Bible said, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of the King Herod, magi from the east come to Jesus, to Jerusalem, and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and on Jerusalem with him. When he had come together all the people's chief priests and the teacher of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, and by no means least among the rulers of Judah, of out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" And it should go to the next slide. Somehow it's not. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star has appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed on coming and worship him. On calling him to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened the treasure and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and had been warned in the dream not to go back to Herod. They returned to their country by another route. So that's the Bible talking about the three wise men. That's what we usually say. So what exactly the Magi? Who were them? According to ancient historian Herodotus, the Magi was a tribe of the people within the larger people called the Medes. They were the priesthood tribe, somewhat like the Levite of Israel. They functioned as the priests in their pagan ritual. From the time of Babylonian Empire to the Roman Empire, they maintained a place tremendous, prominent, and significant in the Oriental world. So it's very strange, you know, when I read the historical record, it kept strange. What God, why in the world God chose the Magi, the Gentile priests, to chose them to show us what we should do now what Christmas is over. There are two things the Magi did, and we can do throughout the year. Actually, you know, we can learn from them. First of all, we can seek Christ through the years in verse 2, in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. If very much Christ was born way before the Magi or the wise men found him. But anyway, they experienced, they saw the star, and they searched for the Savior. So the text makes it clear they were on a mission, and that's what exactly the Bible said. When they recognize there's some event, something, the Savior happened in Israel, and they're on a mission to find him. So they were seeking the King of the Jews. This man sought Christ long after the miracle of birth took place. So if you read the scripture or the historical record, by the time they found Jesus Christ, okay, it had to be at least a couple years later. So it means the child was born way before they begin on the mission search for Christ. So we learn from them, we can seek Christ throughout the years. We don't have to wait until Christmas Day to find him or to seek him. So when we seek him, it requires some things from us. It's just like the wise man. They choose to seek Christ, but it requires something from them. The same true for us. When we seek Christ, it requires something of us. It takes effort to seek Christ. The Magi, or the wise man, had to make a very, very long trip. They had to overcome a lot of obstacles. On top of that, they had to deal with some difficult people along the way, such as religious leader, such as the dangerous King Herod. So it takes time to seek Christ, and it took a lot of the wise man times. So seeking Christ is not just a one-time experience, but seeking Christ is not something that can be rushed. It requires that we spend time with him, and it takes a lot of effort to seek him. The wise man make great effort or sacrifice to find Christ. So seeking Christ will require some effort from your parts. Paul, in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 1 to 11, he said that he was willing to make an effort. He was willing to make sacrificial, at least from his part, for him. Secondly, when we really seek Christ, we will find him. It's just like the Bible in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 13. And you will seek me and find me. And when you seek for me with all your heart. So when we seek Christ with all our heart, we will find him. And thirdly, when we genuinely seek Christ, we really take effort to seek him, we will be richly blessed. We will be richly blessed. We will be richly blessed as we experience his presence. At least in chapter 2, verse 11, when the wise man saw the child, Christ, they saw overjoyed. So we'll be richly blessed and we experience his joy. So when you experience God, experience Christ, you have the choice in you. When you have actually, you're not very much like concerned anything else. It's just like the book of Psalm, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasure evermore. So how do we seek him? Of course, we seek him throughout the years. Few things we can do. Number one, we pray. Seeking him, seeking Christ requires some effort. So I pray when you work on your New Year resolution for year 2020, put number one, pray for him every day. Or set up some designated time of your daily life to pray, seek him. Spend time daily with God's word, the Bible. For the new year, I already prepare 100 passages for you to read. So probably, I get to print out and pass it out by probably after lunch. It's go from the book of Genesis on the way to the book of Revelation. It's just 100, I'm calling it like essential Bible passage you need to read. But if you have the opportunity, read the whole Bible. But some of you, you're in school, you're busy, so every day, read at least one passage on the way from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. Maintain a daily quiet time, and when you read the Bible, that passage, have some quiet time to thinking about it, have devotional time, learning about what the passage teaching you, and attend church regularly. And that few things you can do. And the passage also talking about we can worship Christ throughout the years. In verse 2, chapter 2, verse 11, it's talking about the worship. Because worship is so important work of the church. Worship is the lifeblood of the church. Worship is the most important service of the believer. Therefore, it should be the highest priority of the believer. But the question we come back and we ask, based on the passage, how do we worship Christ? We can learn something from this wise man. First of all, we make him the focus of our worship as the wise man did when they immediately focused on the Christ child. When you read the passage, when they saw Christ, what happened? Number one, they overjoyed and they come and worship him. And very much, we submit our life to him as the wise men did when they bow before Christ. So we overjoy when we come to worship. And also from the spiritual perspective, at least in the church, we need to bow down to worship him, just like the wise man bowed down to worship Christ. And lastly, we give our all to him as the wise men did when they gave him their expensive gift. So we're talking about when the wise men come, they gave him what? Gold. What else? Incense and the myrrh. If you study from the history perspective, that the three most expensive gifts at the ancient world at that time. And the same thing, what exactly the most expensive gift you bring to God when you worship? Sometimes people said the money, that might not be. It's just like the song you sing, you know, you bring the heart to Christ when you worship. And you come to worship with the attitude of bow down before Him to worship. And when you worship, it's just like you're experiencing God with the joy you have. It's just like the wise men we learn from the passage. They come with joy, they come with bow down, and they come with worship, with whatever they have. And that experience you need to learn, or you need to come when you worship. So what do we do now when Christmas is over? We seek and worship Christ. And hopefully it's throughout the year, not just the Christmas day. We worship Him year round. And we seek Him every day. I know some of you, you have a very busy life. And today, I saw a couple of people absent. Probably she had a baby at the end of the year. Maybe we have two folks. Probably we have the baby the end of this year or January. And some are just so busy to visit family. Probably we'll get back by the New Year Day. But anyway, regardless how busy you are, you still need to seek God every day and worship Him. One of the stories I read when I prepare for this sermon, for the conclusion, one of the men was sitting in his living room in the middle of January. I'm talking about January. When he heard the thin, piping voice singing, "O come, ye faithful," in January. So he went to his front door and opened it, and there was a little boy singing Christmas carol. He said to the boy, "What are you doing? It's January. Christmas is already over." So the child replies, "I'm singing Christmas carols." The man said, "Why, son? This is middle of January." So the little boy said, "I know, but I had a measle during Christmas, and I'm just now getting around to doing my caroling. So what I'm trying to communicate to you, let's not just do it at Christmas, but year-round, especially today, the last Sunday of the year. For Field Program the Church, in January 26th, our church celebrates the Vietnamese New Year on Sunday. I know some of the English ministry, you had a program the end of the year, December 31st and January the 1st. But for the church perspective, we celebrate the Vietnamese New Year on January 26th. So that would be the fun time, a celebration time. So by 1:30 today, on the Christmas decoration will be put out, and on the New Year's stuff will be put up. So we're going to have fun. And make sure you participate during the Vietnamese New Year and sign up for that program. And remember, even though we celebrate Vietnamese New Year, but the message today is, every day is very much the Christmas day. Okay, let us stand up so I can pray. And hey, Father, we thank you very much because last Tuesday, we celebrate your birth and we overjoy for the program. But then we also realize the Christmas day we annually celebrate is already over. But the passage you teaching us in the Bible, in the scripture, we need to seek you and worship you. We need to worship you on year round, and we seek him, you, every day. So our life can be joyful, our life can be blessing, and our life have the protection from you. Everything we do for your glory, Father. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will be with all the church people in this room when we get out of this place to seek and worship Christ, to worship him year round, and seek him every day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.